Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mandi. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today is Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Nun, the third parak, Cheskas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara said that a woman can sell her Nixim Alug to her husband. This is challenged from a Maimar's ruling. Ish vi isha shemachu ben Nixim Alug, a husband and wife, who sold Nixim Alug, lasvu al kum. They have done nothing and the sale is void. The Gemara first answers that a Maimar meant that if the husband alone sold the Nixim Alug and died, she retakes the property since his rights ended. And if the wife alone sold the Nixim Alug and died, the husband retakes the property because of Takanas Usha. He would agree, however, that if they both sold it or if she sold it to her husband, the sale is valid. The Gemara then answers that although our Mishnah holds the wife can sell her Nixim Alug to her husband and they can sell it together, a Maimar disagrees and holds neither has sufficient ownership to affect a sale. She owns the land itself and he owns its produce. He follows Rabbi Elazar's opinion in the Braisa, which will be mentioned shortly. Point number two, a Braisa discusses one who sells his slaves but retains the slave's work for 30 days. Rabbi Meir says, Rishon Yeshem B'din Yom O Yomayim. The first owner is subject to the rule of a day or two, meaning exempting an owner who strikes his own slave and the slave dies after 24 hours, Mithneshu Tachta, because he's under his domain. His ownership of the slave's produce renders him the owner because Rabbi Meir holds Kinyan Peros is like Kinyan Aguf, ownership of the item itself. Rav Yehuda says the buyer has the Yom HaYomayim exemption, Miknei Shukaspo, because he is his property. He holds Kinyan Peros is not Kinyan Aguf, so the buyer who owns the physical slave is the owner. Rav Yossi says both have the Yom HaYomayim exemption because he's uncertain if Kinyan Peros is like Kinyan Aguf, but Safek Nefashos Lahakel, and doubts involving capital punishment are ruled leniently. Rav Elazar says neither has the Yom HaYomayim exemption. Zeh lefi she'eino taktav, v'zeh lefi she'eino kaspo. The buyer because the slave is not under his domain, and the seller because he's not his property. Rav Elazar requires kaspo hamyuchad lo, property exclusively his. And point number three, the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amanov taught that a man cannot establish a chazaka in his wife's property. The Gemara asks, Rav said, ish is ish, tzricha limchos. A married woman must protest to prevent a chazaka on her nixim alug. This cannot refer to an outside person occupying her nixim alug because Rav said that one cannot establish a chazaka in nixim alug of a married woman. The Rashbam explains that she does not protest because she relies on her husband to do so. Rav answers that Rav is discussing protesting against the husband, gagon shechaper bo boros shichun ma'aros, and the cases where he dug pits, ditches, or vaults in her nixim alug. The Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Avuha said, "Ein chazaka l'nizakin." There is no chazaka for damages. Two answers are given. Number one, this means "Ein din chazaka l'nizakin." There's no standard three-year law of chazaka for damages. Rather, because the property is being damaged, the owner's silence would establish a chazaka immediately. And number two, only regarding exceptionally disturbing harm, such as smoke or an outhouse, is a chazaka impossible. But for other damages, including digging pits, a chazaka is established after 3 years. Rav Yosef explains how a chazaka can even be established in Nixim Alug by an outsider. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara said that a woman can sell her Nixim Alug to her husband. This is challenged from a Maimar's ruling. Ish vi isha shemachu ben Nixim Alug, a husband and wife, who sold Nixim Alug, lasvu al kum. They have done nothing and the sale is void. The Gemara first answers that a Maimar meant that if the husband alone sold the Nixim Alug and died, she retakes the property since his rights ended. And if the wife alone sold the Nixim Alug and died, the husband retakes the property because of Takanas Usha. He would agree, however, that if they both sold it or if she sold it to her husband, the sale is valid. The Gemara then answers that although our Mishnah holds the wife can sell her Nixim Alug to her husband and they can sell it together, a Maimar disagrees and holds neither has sufficient ownership to affect a sale. She owns the land itself and he owns its produce. He follows Rabbi Elazar's opinion in the Braisa, which will be mentioned shortly. Point number two, a Braisa discusses one who sells his slaves but retains the slave's work for 30 days. Rabbi Meir says, Rishon Yeshem B'din Yom O Yomayim. The first owner is subject to the rule of a day or two, meaning exempting an owner who strikes his own slave and the slave dies after 24 hours, Mithneshu Tachta, because he's under his domain. His ownership of the slave's produce renders him the owner because Rabbi Meir holds Kinyan Peros is like Kinyan Aguf, ownership of the item itself. Rav Yehuda says the buyer has the Yom HaYomayim exemption, Miknei Shukaspo, because he is his property. He holds Kinyan Peros is not Kinyan Aguf, so the buyer who owns the physical slave is the owner. Rav Yossi says both have the Yom HaYomayim exemption because he's uncertain if Kinyan Peros is like Kinyan Aguf, but Safek Nefashos Lahakel, and doubts involving capital punishment are ruled leniently. Rav Elazar says neither has the Yom HaYomayim exemption. Zeh lefi she'eino taktav, v'zeh lefi she'eino kaspo. The buyer because the slave is not under his domain, and the seller because he's not his property. Rabbi Elazar requires kaspo hamyuchadlo, property exclusively his. And point number 3, the Mishnah daf mem beis amanov taught that a man cannot establish a chazaka in his wife's property. The Gemara asks, Rav said, ish is ish, tzricha limchos, a married woman must protest to prevent a chazaka on her nixim elug. This cannot refer to an outside person occupying her nixim elug because Rav said that one cannot establish a chazaka in nixim elug of a married woman. The Rashbam explains that she does not protest because she relies on her husband to do so. Rava answers that Rav is discussing protesting against the husband, gagon shechaper bo boru shichin ma'aros, and the cases where he dug pits, ditches, or vaults in her nixim elug. The Gemara asks that Rav bar Avua said, ein chazaka li'nizakin. There is no chazaka for damages. Two answers are given. Number one, this means ein din chazaka li'nizakin. There's no standard 3-year law of chazaka for damages. Rather, because the property is being damaged, the owner's silence would establish a chazaka immediately. And number two, only regarding exceptionally disturbing harm, such as smoke or an outhouse, is a chazak impossible. But for other damages, including digging pits, a chazak is established after 3 years. Rav Yosef explains how a chazak can even be established in Nixim Elug by an outsider. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Nun, and our standard Siman is a non-stop flight. A non-stop flight. So here goes. The husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of a Nixim Elug that neither could sell. We're sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither was subject to the din of Yom and Yomayim, since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days. Overheard a wife tell the woman sitting next to her that she was on her way to make a macha against her husband establishing chazaka on her nixim elug and dug ditches in her cherished rose bushes. Once again, slow motion. The husband and wife on a non-stop flight, that must be run duff nun. The husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of a nixim elug that neither could sell, which reminds us. The Gemara said that a woman can sell her nixim elug to her husband. This is challenged from a Maimar's ruling. Ish vi isha shemachu b'nixim elug, a husband and wife who sold nixim elug, lost v'lokum. They have done nothing and the sale is void. He holds neither has sufficient ownership to effect a sale. She owns the land itself and he owns its produce. So the husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of her nixim elug that neither could sell. We're sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither was subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim, since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days, which reminds us. A brisa discusses one who sells the slaves but retains the slave's work for 30 days and brings a 3-way machlokes regarding who has the rule of Yom O Yomayim, exempting the owner if the eved dies after 24 hours. Rabbi Elazar says that neither has the Yom O Yomayim exemption. Zeh lefi she'eino tachta v'zeh lefi she'eino kaspo, the buyer, because the slave is not under his domain, and the seller because he is not his property. Rabbi Elazar requires kaspo hamiyuchad lo, property exclusively his. So the husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at the picture of her nixim elug that neither could sell were sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither were subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim, since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days. Overheard a wife tell the woman sitting next to her that she was on her way to make a macha against her husband, establishing a chazak on her nixim elug, and dug ditches in her cherished rose bushes, which reminds us, a husband can establish a chazak in his wife's property which he damages, such as by digging ditches, and therefore the wife needs to protest. So once again, the husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at the picture of her nixim elug that neither could sell, were sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither was subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim, since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days. Overheard a wife tell the woman sitting next to her that she was on her way to make a macha against her husband establishing a chazak on her nixim elug and dug ditches in her cherished rose bushes. All right, so now it's time for 4 blah bach hazara. Daf mem vav. So the simmer daf mem vav is a cow because cows go moo. So here goes. The man wearing cowhides, that must be on daf mem vav. Moo. The man wearing cowhides that belonged to someone else who was accidentally given his cowhides from the craftsman, which reminds us, a brisa teaches, Nishalpulo kelim bekelim bebeis ha'uman. If one's garments were exchanged with other garments in a craftsman's shop, ha'izeh yishtamish behen, he may use them, although they're not his, ad sheyavo halav yito shalo, until the other person comes and takes what is his, bebeis ha'avol bebeis ha'mishta. But if the exchange happened in a mourner's home or at a feast, he may not use the garments. Rav reported that his uncle Rebbe Chiya explained the difference. So the man wearing cowhides that belonged to someone else, who was accidentally given his cowhides from the craftsman, was shocked when the man coming to switch garments was one of his ancestral sharecroppers, who could never establish a chazak, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph taught that an aris, a sharecropper, does not establish a chazak. The Gemara asks, why? Adi'in the pagva ashta kula. Until today, meaning 3 years ago, he only received half the produce as a sharecropper, and now has been taking all of it, which proves he purchased a property. Rav Yochanan answered that the case is barisei bateavos, ancestral sharecroppers whose families remain arisin for generations. Such arisin often alternate taking the entire crop for several years and cannot establish a chazaka. So the man wearing cowhides that belonged to someone else, who was accidentally given his cowhides from the craftsman, was shocked when the man coming to switch garments was one of his ancestral sharecroppers who can never establish a chazaka, and even more shocked when he was reviewing an Amalek siman aloud while thinking of a picture of Haman on a cow being chased by four men, which reminds us, a braisa lists four cases of edus which could hypothetically prevent collection from himself. The siman Amalek is given for the initials of the four cases, Arev, Malva, Lokeach, V'Kablan. Daf Mem Zayin. So the symbol Daf Mem Zayin is a maize. So here goes. The owner of the corn maize, that must be more Daf Mem Zayin. The owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when a son who walked away from his support made a chazaka on one maize field, which reminds us a son who separated from his father's support is like all other people and can establish a chazaka since he no longer receives support from the father. This is a chiddush since one might have thought the father waives his rights regarding his son and does not protest his occupation. So the owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when a son who walked away from his support made a chazaka on one maize field, and an aris who was not a gazlan produced a shtar, proving purchase of another, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said the Rav Huna told him, Kun Shehiviu Raya, all of them referring to an Uman and Aris, if they bring proof such as aiding that the owner admitted selling it, or a shtar of sale, Raya San Raya, their proof is accepted as proof. Umamidin Sada Biyada, and we place the field in their possession. Gazan Shehiviu Raya, however, if a Gazan brings proof, Ein Raya Saraya, his proof is not accepted as proof. The Rashbam references Rav Kahana's explanation on this daf, that the victim felt compelled to falsely confess or write a shtar of sale, knowing that if he would not, the Gazan would have handed him and his donkey to the captain for confiscation. So the owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when a son who walked away from his support made a chazaka on one maize field, and an aris who was not a gazlan produced a shtar, proving purchase of another, and he was hung up and forced at gunpoint to sell his last one, which was a valid sale because talu v'zavin zvine zvine, which reminds us. Rabbi quoted Rav Nachman saying that although a sale to a gazlan is invalid, the robber's money is refunded. The Rashbam infers that Rav Nachman validates the sale even where money was paid. Rav Huna disagrees and says, Tohu Yavazabin, if they hung him or otherwise afflicted him and he sold to them what they demanded, Zvine Zvine, his sale is a valid sale. This is initially explained, called the Mazabin Inish, anything a person sells, he loved the Anisu, loved Mazabin. If he were not pressed for money, he would not have sold it, yet his sale is a valid sale. Here too, a sale made under physical duress should be valid. This comparison is rejected. Daf Mem Ches, so the similar Daf Mem Ches is Moach Brain, and we use Brainiacs. So here goes. The Brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Memches. The Brainiacs, studying the thermodynamics of coercion and their halachic significance, who rightfully assess that a goy forcing a get is invalid on a rabbinic level, which reminds us, the rabbis ruled that a get mu'uzah, a forced get by a goy, is invalid, so that every estranged wife should not go attach herself with an idolater and use every means to persuade him to force her husband to divorce her, mafkatz atzma miyad bala, and thereby withdraw herself from her husband. So the Brainiacs, studying the thermodynamics of coercion and their halachic significance, who rightfully assess that a goy forcing a get is invalid on a rabbinic level, while trying to determine the exact height to hang up an owner to force a sale of an unspecified field, which reminds us, Rava said the halacha is that they hung them up until he sold them what they demanded. His sale is a valid sale. He added that this is only besada stum, an unspecified field, meaning where the owner could choose which field to sell, in which case he likely consented the sale sincerely. But if they demanded a specified field, the sale is void. This exception, however, is where the owner did not count the money, demonstrating his opposition to the sale, and he had no way to avail those forcing the sale. So the Brainiacs, studying the thermodynamics of coercion and their halakhic significance, who rightfully assess that a goy forcing a get is invalid on a rabbinic level, while trying to determine the exact height to hang up an owner to force a sale of an unspecified field, decided not to test how long a woman needed to be hung before she relented and married a man, when they heard the rabbis would revoke such a kedushin, which reminds us, a maimer said, Tuliva kadish kedush of kedushin. If they hung a woman up until she relented and he married her, his marriage is a valid marriage. Mar Ravashi said that although a forced sale is valid, Forced Kedushin is certainly void by rabbinic decree, since he acted improperly, the rabbis acted with him extra legally. And the rabbis revoked his Kedushin by making the money onerous through Hefker, based in Hefker. Daf Mem Tes, so the Siman Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we often use a butcher in the Siman. So here goes. The Edim were so happy that they were believed when they said, Modaya Devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop. Meat? Butcher shop? That must be more on Daf Mem Tes. The Edim were so happy that they were believed when they said, Modaya Devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop, which reminds us, if Edim say Modaya Devarenu, our signed Edus, was after notification from the owner that his transaction was made under duress and invalid, ain't that money? They're not believed. Marbar Ravashi says, Modaya Devarenu, nam money. If they say our signed Edus was after Moda, they are believed. Shazen Nitam Kaseb, because this star is allowed to be written to save the owner from those pressuring him and is not an act of Rishas. The Rashbam further explains that he does not consider this Edus a retraction of their initial testimony, but additional information. So the Edim were so happy that they were believed when they said, Modaya Devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop, stood next to a chassan at the counter disavowing a claim to his cause property, saying, Yepshi betakanas chachamim, which reminds us, the Mishnah Dav Mem Beis Amanov taught that a man cannot establish a chazakah on his wife's property. This seems obvious since he's entitled to his produce. So the Gemara explains the cases where he relinquished his right by writing, Dinu Dvarim Einli Min Chasayich, I have no claim nor argument regarding your property. Since this language cannot relinquish a right one already has, the cases where he wrote it while she was in Arusa before he acquired the right to her produce. Rav Kahana taught this is effective. Nachla balo adam amakam achir, an inheritance coming to a person from elsewhere, meaning rabbinically. Adam masna leshul yerushena. He can stipulate not to inherit it. This is effective because of Rava's principle. Ko omer yepshi betakanas chachamim kagon zos. Anyone who says, I do not want this rabbinic enactment made for my benefit, kagon zos, such as this case, shomilo, we listen to him. So the Edim are so happy they were believed when they said, Modaya Devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop, stood next to a chassan at the counter disavowing a claim to his kala's property, saying, Yepshi betakanas chachamim, while a woman confided to the butcher that she made a sale of property to her husband only to please, but did not sincerely agree to sell it, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that a husband cannot establish a chazaka in his wife's property to prove she sold it to him. Harayesh, this implies that proof, meaning testimony that she sold it to him, is effective and the sale is valid. The Gemara asks, Tema nachas ruach asisi levali. She should be able to say, I made the sale only to please my husband, but did not sincerely agree to sell it. The Gemara brings a distinction if it was his land that she had a lien on with her ksuba, or if it was her nixe malug. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn in Samachokas where the Edim who testify Modaya Devarenu are believed? That's on Daf Mem Tes. And number two, which stuff do we discuss if a forced sale, a specified field, is a valid sale? That's on Daf Mem Ches. And number three, which stuff do we learn a husband can establish a chazak in his wife's property, which he damages? That's on Daf Nun. Good number four. Which of the when the rabbi holds that an uman can establish a chazak on an item if the owner gave it to him without aiding? That's on Daf Mem Hey. Good number five. Which daf do we be three machlokes regarding who is subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim, the current owner or the former owner who retains the Eved service for 30 days? That's on Daf Nun. Good number six. Which of the when if one sold metaltein such as a cloak, he can testify on the buyer's behalf even if it was in a potiki? That's on Daf Mem Dalet. Good number seven. Which stuff when the rabbanim were mafkia kedushin that was achieved through hanging the woman up until she relents and accepts the kedushin? That's on Daf Mem Ches. Good number eight. Which stuff to discuss when we're concerned that a woman only sold property to her husband to please him but did not sincerely agree to sell it? That's on Daf Mem Tes. Good number nine. Which stuff do milk if the seller has to retrieve a sold donkey that a goy sees? That's on Daf Mem Hey. Good. And number 10, which stuff do you know that a Mamer holds that neither the husband or the wife has sufficient ownership to sell her Nixi Malug? That's on Daf Nun. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is everybody. Ram Golda from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.